Hello, everyone. What a blessing to be here, and thank you for joining us. So the name of the new series, the teaching series, is Grace and Truth. We have decided as a church that we need a series on grace. In a world that we live in, we need more and more grace, especially the grace that God offered for us or to us. But grace without truth can drift into permissiveness and compromise. Without grace, truth can become harsh and condemning. Grace and truth, you have heard this the past two sermons. Grace and truth are like the two wings of an airplane, right? The world needs real grace and needs real truth. Jesus perfectly embodied both. We have read before also John 1:14. Where it says that he came full of grace and truth. Not 50-50, but 100% grace and 100% truth. He welcomed the sinner without condemning, but also called them to go and sin no more. So today we're going to have a conversation of why grace matters and how we can share it really well. Here at Emmanuel, we believe that grace creates a safe place where people know they won't be thrown away when they fail. Truth ensures that love doesn't become empty flattery, but points us toward God's best for our lives. Unfortunately, in our daily lives, we hear expressions like, "Thank you for extending me grace and favor. Give yourself some grace." Meaning, don't be so hard on yourself. Grace is a word that we often use, but we struggle to define sometimes. We celebrate it and praise it, but I also think we misunderstand it, especially when it comes to giving grace to others. Imagine a city without traffic lights. At first, people think, great, we can go wherever we want without stopping. But soon, the streets turn chaotic. Cars crash, tempers flare, and no one feels safe. Grace is like those traffic lights. It doesn't just prevent collisions, but it makes the whole system work. A man also said to his friend, I've been giving my teenagers a lot of grace lately. He can stay up late, skip chores, and even have ice cream for dinner. The friend laughed and said, that feels less like grace and more like a full vacation. That's the thing about grace. It's not a license to enable wrong behavior. If you're taking notes, I invite you to write this down. True grace invites change and growth. True grace invites change and growth. And it's not a free pass to do whatever we want. I think this is what many of us mean when we say we should give grace, that we give a free pass, we give permission. And that free rein or free pass is often related to things that aren't even spiritual. But when giving grace actually applies to spiritual matters, we tend to believe that we should never push, never maintain a line of truth, or steer someone away from the abyss of self-destruction. Culture is infiltrating our understanding of grace, thus stealing from us its profound meaning and transformative power. Now, we have heard that grace is God's undeserved favor and love poured out upon us through our faith in Christ. It is a free gift, a gift freely given, and an agent of change, which we receive and comes and transforms us from the inside out. Grace is the power to overcome sin, not a permission to continue in it. Grace is not a free pass that allows us to free ourselves from all restrictions under the guise of Christ. According to this German Lutheran pastor and theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without repentance, is baptism without discipline, communion without confession, absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without the living and incarnate Jesus Christ. False grace or cheap grace suggests that since Jesus died for our sins in the past, the present, and the future, we should no longer worry if we sin. This belief is dangerous because it implies that confession and repentance is not necessary. But this is a serious misunderstanding. While it is true that Jesus' sacrifice covers all our sins, we must actively participate in repentance and maintain a life of holiness. The Holy Spirit convinces us of sin, and we must respond with a contrite heart. Grace is closely linked to forgiveness. Since God forgives sins through grace, but however, this doesn't mean we can boast of God's grace and continue in sin. In Hebrews 10:26, we have a warning. It says, "Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received the knowledge of truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins." The Greek word here implies persisting in sin with full knowledge and intent, not occasional slips or sins committed out of weakness. It refers to a persistent and repentant lifestyle. The message of false grace is prevalent and dangerous. It leads believers into complacency, suggesting that they are assured of their salvation regardless of their lifestyle. But the scripture is clear. Our salvation is evidenced in our obedience to Christ. But true grace comes when we trust that His forgiveness, love, and help are real and available to us, not only to forgive our sins, but also to transform our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. This means letting go of shame, accepting His forgiveness, and living fully loved. Over the years in ministry, I have the privilege of meeting people, a lot of people, whose stories are living proof of God's grace. Stories of transformation, forgiveness, and new beginnings that only He or God could write. I'm going to share some of those testimonies with you today. I'm going to share the first testimony about a lady, a friend of mine, and she said these words. "I was living far from God, convinced I had gone too far to be forgiven. One Sunday, a friend invited me to church. As the pastor spoke about Jesus' sacrifice, I felt the message was meant only for me. I realized that God's grace wasn't about me earning it, but about Him freely giving it. That day, I prayed for forgiveness, and a deep peace I had never known filled my heart. It was the first time I truly believed God loved me, not for what I had done, but for who He is." Amen. What a wonderful testimony of God's grace. Grace is no a one-way street. If you're taking notes, I invite you to write this down. Grace flows in multiple directions. Remember, we were talking about traffic lights, right? Also, grace flows in multiple directions. It comes to us from God, passes through us to others, and even returns to God in our gratitude and obedience. A scripture shows that grace is received and given. It is a gift and a responsibility. Understanding these different directions of grace help us see the full picture of God's goodness in action, transforming hearts, restoring relationships, and drawing us closer to Him and to others. So, what does it mean to give grace to one another. It primarily means seeing ourselves as new creatures in Christ, recognizing that the grace we receive at salvation works as an agent of change in our lives forever. It is true, we are all in a process. However, that doesn't mean we have a free pass to do whatever we want. There is a difference between a free pass and grace. A free pass means, I see your sin, friend, and I won't call it by name. I'll ignore it. We often call this love. But isn't it actually self-love? When you give a free pass, you choose to do what is easiest for you rather than endure the temporary pain of discussing a difficult topic with a friend. When we don't take the truth into consideration, grace turns love into mere tolerance. Grace avoids difficult conversation in the name of kindness. Grace affirms people, but it doesn't transform them. It's true, we are all in process of transformation. The process is a call as individuals, as a church, to constantly engage with what God Himself has given us, the ability to see sin instead of ignoring it, to call it by name with kindness and truth, to remind our friends of the path of confession and repentance that is available for them, to encourage them as they change, and to do all this for an intimate relation with a deeper love. Grace is never an excuse to remain silent. When you must speak the truth, ask yourself, do I have good intentions? Can the other person feel your love even if they don't like your words? Galatians 6, 1 and 2 describe the image of a spirit-led grace giver. Who would like to be that kind of person? A person that is a spirit-led grace giver. The word of God said, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burden, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Let me share this testimony about this man from church. He said, a co-worker betrayed me by taking credit for my project. I was angry and hurt, and for weeks I avoided him. Then I remember how many times God has forgiven me. I pray for the strength to forgive. One afternoon, I told him that I was hurt, but I forgave him. He burst into tears and admitted he had been struggling with insecurity. That conversation opened the door to a friendship that I never expected. What a beautiful testimony. Receiving God's grace and forgiveness requires that you extend it to others. Amen. Remember those directions. We have received God's grace into our lives, pass and work inside of us, and then we extend it to others. After reminding the church at Ephesus of the grace they had received, the Apostle Paul added in Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you. Just as Jesus forgave you, just as Jesus forgave me, let's forgive others. Just as Jesus was merciful to you, be merciful to others. In this way, you display God's grace before the world. Colossians 3:13 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Since God has poured grace on us, we can pour it out on others. This boils down to forgiveness instead of holding a grudge, being patient with others' weaknesses, helping without expecting anything in return, speaking words that build up, not destroy. True love speaks the truth even when it's difficult. True, but it also listens, feels, and cares. We are called not to win arguments, but we are called to win people over for Jesus. Amen. Grace is understood as God's undeserved favor toward us. But scripture also shows that grace flows between people, offered through forgiveness, kindness, patience, and support. Receiving grace from others is a vital part of the Christian life. So we receive grace from God, we pass it into others, but also we are willing to receive that grace also from others. If you're taking notes, please write this down. Grace reflects God's love at work in community. Grace reflects God's love at work in community. This is a testimony from a single mother. She said, "A few months ago, I had to undergo an unexpected surgery. I am a single mother and didn't know how I was going to pay the bills while I recovered. I didn't tell anyone except my small group leader. 2 days later, a group of women from my church show up at my door with groceries, envelopes of money, and a freezer full of food. I cried so much that I couldn't even speak. I kept saying, 'I can't accept all of this.' And one of them responded, 'It's not from us, it's from God.' That's when I realized that sometimes grace feels like a group of friends who carry your burdens when you can't carry them for yourself." What a beautiful testimony. Receiving grace requires humility, recognizing that we are imperfect and that we need others. Pride can block the flow of grace because it refuses to accept help or forgiveness. To receive grace in form of forgiveness, we must be willing to accept it without holding on to bitterness or self-condemnation. When we receive grace from others with gratitude, we foster a cycle of giving that strengthens relationships in community. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, the Apostle Paul says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us." How precious. God's grace often comes to us through the kindness and support of others. Being open to this is part of trusting in God's provision. Are you open to receiving help, forgiveness, and kindness from others? Do you recognize the moments when the grace of others is God's grace given to you? Do you allow pride or past hurts to block the grace others want to give you? Receiving the grace of others is a humble and sincere acceptance of God's love expressed through community. It involves breaking down barriers, accepting forgiveness, and embracing kindness, even when it's difficult. Scripture encourages believers to give and receive grace as a reflection of God's kingdom on earth. Let me share one more testimony from a man. He says, "After my divorce, I carry a lot of guilt. I kept going over my mistakes and telling myself I ruined my future. One day, while reading the Bible, I came across Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He said, I felt as if God were whispering to me, stop punishing yourself for what I have already forgiven. Little by little, he said, I began to accept his grace, and the weight began to disappear. The Bible also encourages us to receive and extend grace inwardly to ourselves. Extend grace to ourselves. This means accepting God's forgiveness, being patient with our own weaknesses, and living in his peace rather than in condemnation. God's forgiveness is complete and available to us. Accepting this truth means we don't have to live under guilt or shame. 1 John 1:9 is a promise, and it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Giving ourselves grace means allowing Jesus' invitation to rest and peace, to replace self-condemnation and harsh self-judgment. Jesus invited us in Matthew 11:28-30. He extended an invitation to the weary to come to him and rest. Understanding who we are in Christ frees us from inner criticism and helps us extend grace within ourselves. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is you and that is me. What great news. One of my favorite verses, Philippians 1:6, it says, he who began a good work in you will complete it to the end. And can I have an amen? Amen. That's a promise for you and for me today. He hasn't finished yet with us. He's still working in our lives. He who began a good work in you will complete it to the end. A spiritual growth is a process. Giving ourselves grace means being patient with our current situation, trusting in God's ongoing work. Why is it important to give ourselves grace? It helps break the cycle of guilt and shame that can paralyze spiritual growth. It allows us to forgive others more freely because we have experienced grace within. It nourishes our emotional and spiritual health, fostering trust in God's love. So we have a conversation about grace going in different directions, coming from God to our lives, extending that grace to others, receiving grace from others, and extending that grace to ourselves. But what is the best way that we can respond to God for that amazing gift that we have received? Grace is one of the most beautiful and powerful gifts God offers us. A love and favor we don't earn, but freely receive. When we truly understand the depth of his grace, our response naturally arises within us. Responding to God's grace is not just about words. It's about how we live, love, and reflect his goodness in every aspect of our lives. On this journey, our response becomes a living testimony. Psalm 107:1 says, give thanks to the Lord because he is good and his love endures forever. So what is the best response to the grace, the wonderful gift we have received from the Lord? Give thanks to the Lord. Worship is the natural first response. Praising God for his mercy and goodness. This can be through prayer, song, or simply a heartfelt gratitude. Live a transformed life. Romans 12:1 say, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Responding to grace means allowing it to change our way of life, turning us away from sin and toward holiness. Our best response is obeying his word. He says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Grace leads us to the desire to follow God's instruction, not out of obligation, but because of love and gratitude. So our invitation today is, because we have received God's grace through Jesus Christ, I choose to live each day in that grace. I will rest in his love. I will walk in his forgiveness and rely on his strength. I will extend grace to others as it has been extended to me. Forgiving freely, speaking kindly, and showing compassion even when it's undeserved. I will humbly receive grace from others, recognizing it as a gift from God. And I will offer my life back to God in gratitude, serving him with joy and obedience. Amen.